So our focus this evening is on the idea of bringing things into captivity, bringing every thought into captivity, and it kind of goes hand in hand with the idea of having unity that we've been talking about in the book of Ephesians. Our focus then is of great importance as we consider these things. It is necessary for every Christian to grow spiritually in health and in well-being, to possess the ability through the power of God to captivate all the thoughts into obedience into Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul wrote. Necessary because we will be protected by that from the devil, from the influence of the devil in this world. And that is of the utmost importance for our ability to survive this life. Necessary because God clearly teaches all of us what it means when we think thoughts and what happens when those thoughts come into our minds, how to control those thoughts. We have to have the right attitude. Solomon, that was a different message. Solomon, he says, what a man thinks, so he is. Whatever a man thinks in his heart, so also shall he be. And so we're in a spiritual war here. We're in a war for our souls. And everything that the devil has already laid down from the foundation of the world is in place. All his influences, all the evil that he has brought about, all the sin, it's all still there. And so we're in a spiritual war. The Apostle Paul, he's the one that says, I myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence of you lowly among you, being absent in boldness towards you, I beg you, he says, I beg you that when I am present with you, that not to be bold with the confidence which I intend, but to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. We are not people who walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh, Paul says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. That's so important because those weapons are the ones that are pulling down the strongholds, casting down the arguments to every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. That's our goal tonight, to learn just a few sample ways of how we can bring every thought into captivity. That's something that's a good, something we can practice, and it makes good in our lives. And so, you know, you look at things according to the outward appearance, that's not something that we're doing. And what we think about is crucial to help define who we are. Each and every day, thousands of nights in our minds travel from this thing to that thing. We see visions, we see things, visions that we should not see, television, magazines, even in some of the stores. Some things are good, some things are not so good, but we are getting those things into our minds. Our minds need not to be captive by them. We can manage our thoughts. We can control our thoughts, the things that enter into our minds. And what we do with those thoughts, we have to be careful that they're pleasing to God in every way, shape, and form, so that they don't tear us down spiritually. As every Christian has to have the mind that they're bringing these thoughts into subjection to Christ, that they're not because of our own human reasoning. We don't want that. That's not powerful enough to overcome the devil and his influence and the impure things that he puts out before us. And so all Christians, we need to be aware of that. We need to be subject to God's will for us in our lives. His thoughts are obviously better than our thoughts, and I think you might probably already know where we're going with that. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 and 9, where God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, no matter who you are, unless you just want to deny the fact that there's a creator, if you deny the fact that everything around us has been created, this building was designed and created, the car you drive has a designer and a creator, and so does the trees, and so the hills and the valleys and the stars and the heavens, everything has been created. Nothing just happened to be. And so, you know, it's so crucial that we understand that the Creator, His thoughts are so much more powerful than ours. They're so much higher than ours. His ways so much better than ours. So we don't want to be subject to our own ways. We want to be subject to His ways. And I think that's something that can be done very, very simply. How we manage those thoughts. And so, Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. I think Jeremiah understood that. He trusted in God, his creator, his redeemer, his king. You know, James, in James, you look at your Bibles, James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. James sums it up quite well, actually. He says that, let no man say when he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted, neither does he tempt any man. But then James says, but every man is tempted by his own lust. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And so the things that we bring into our thoughts and our minds, the things that are not godly, the things that are of lust or personal desire, James says that they just lead us step by step into sin. And eventually that sin causes death. And the death that he's talking about is a spiritual death, separated from God. My thoughts about creation, some people say that the world was just an accident. Some people say that the marvels of the human body, the anatomy, the way the blood works, the way the heart works, the way the mind works, absolutely unimaginable, unexplainable, but it's an accident. Some people say the Creator was the one who established all life. Some designer called God is the one who put us all together, who put all these things together with purpose. And if we were to take a moment and think about that, the world wants us to believe differently. The world wants us to believe that all this happened by accident and happenstance. But we need to bring those thoughts into captivity. And we do that by the Word of God, which, by the way, is very clear on who created everything. Very clear on who sits on the throne in heaven. And very clear about what our life must be like if we want to spend eternity in heaven. So the fact is that evil thoughts will come into our minds. And when they do, we need to bring them into subjection of Christ. And we do that by preparing for every contingency. That's a term that I think the military uses. Every contingency, no matter what comes from what direction, what way, we want to be prepared. And we want to be able to do something and have the power to protect ourselves from whatever comes our way. And whatever's not well-pleasing to God, we need to recognize it and be able to stop it and defeat it before it enters into our hearts. And it's really not that hard. Victory over the unwanted thoughts. It all begins with, we left our thoughts behind. We left our own thoughts behind, our own ways. We know they'll surely fail. Just because I believe something, it doesn't make it so. I think everybody in this room is mature enough to know that you've come across people that believe certain things, whether it be political, social, economical, whatever it is, even in science. Just because they say it doesn't make it so. And the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. And if we're not careful, if we allow our own thoughts to become the rule, then we run into trouble because we become captivated by the devil. Remember, let no man say when he's tempted of God. God's not the one that does the tempting. It's our own hearts that accepts that. And so, victory over unwanted thoughts. You know, first thing we do is we got to prepare ourselves. And you know, it seems like that's an obvious thing, to strengthen ourselves for the warfare beforehand. You know, if you're a fighter, you do a lot of exercise. If you're a runner, you run. If whatever the challenge is, you're going to do what it takes to prepare yourself for that challenge. And so what we do to prepare ourselves for the warfare is we follow Jesus. We follow the Word. You know, think about Jesus when he was tempted in Matthew chapter 4 at verse 4. He had been in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights, no water, no drinking. He's obviously hungry and thirsty. So what does the devil do? You know, turn these stones into bread. Jesus didn't go, well, give me a minute to think about that. Or, well, maybe I should try. He didn't say, well, you know, give me a day or so and I want to go read about the Scripture, see what God has to say. No, he was prepared. He quoted the Scripture. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we defeat the devil, obviously. The Word of God is the power of God. It's the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word, that is mighty to help us. And so we need to be preparing ourselves for that war. Jesus was armed with the Word of God. The devil didn't stand a chance. Think about that. It's like, you know, David and Goliath. That devil didn't stand a chance. We would have thought Goliath would win. Goliath didn't stand a chance. Because the Word of God was in Jesus, right? The devil didn't stand a chance. And there's always areas in our lives where the thoughts and influences come in and they're very difficult to overcome. But just as true, we can overcome all the difficulties of life, all the influences, as long as we remember those words. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Remember, Jesus was armed with that. God, who is mighty, is the one who saves. You remember that, you know, God, who is the one. There is no one greater than God. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He is all powerful. And so just like Jesus, if we arm ourselves with the Word of God, thinking about spiritual attacks of the devil, the devil doesn't stand a chance. And that's assuming that we put on that full armor of God that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. Because there's a difference between having it up here and putting it on. Oh, it's raining outside, and so I've got this umbrella, but I don't open it. You're going to get all wet. Right? The temperature outside's 110 degrees, and I'm wearing this winter coat. You go out with that winter coat, you're going to sweat to death. Or if it's 20 degrees below zero, and you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt, you go out there and you're going to freeze to death. So I know I should be wearing my winter coat in the winter, but I don't. And when I get cold, who can I blame? Think about this too. When we talk about taking every thought into captivity. When your mind is focused on a particular project, you know, you're working really hard to solve a problem or to design or create something. And somebody comes into the room and they start talking, and what do? You go, stop. Can't you see I'm working? Right? Can you just hold it and wait? I'm in the middle of something. right? Don't interrupt me. I'm concentrating. Isn't that what you do? But at the same time, that's true. If we remain focused on Jesus, if you remain focused on the Word, if God's Word is living in you and you put on God through the power of God, you have the helmet of salvation, right? The breastplate of righteousness, the sword of peace. You put on this armor, and when something comes in that is of the devil, that influence, whatever it is, stop. I'm in the middle of dealing with things that are spiritual with God. Go away. You have no power over me. That's what happens when you do that. You end up telling the outside influences, the influence that says there is no God, stop. The influence that says the world was an accident, you're an accident, you're not worth anything more than the dirt, stop. The thing the parent that tells you one thing, teacher tells you another thing, you just say stop. Because I know the truth, and the truth is what makes me free. And you just leave me alone because I'm busy doing the things of God. Very powerful. So however we go from day to day in our lives, we're going to run into the thoughts and the attitudes of the world that are contrary to God's will. And keeping them from controlling our minds is actually pretty simple. You just remain in God's Word. You capture every thought. You make every thought, every influence, and you capture it into the obedience of Christ because of the power of His Word. You know, Paul explains that, 2 Corinthians, if you read that with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is really what we've been talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We want to look at verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Think about that. That's what our desire should be for, the weapons of warfare, the Word of God that has the power to cast down all the arguments, answer all the questions, and to be able to cast down and take captive all those thoughts that the devil would rather you have. You know, there's always going to be a battle. There's no question. And I'm not really even stretching it when I say no matter how many years you've been a Christian, no matter how many years you've lived a good, faithful life, no matter how many years you've studied the Bible, there's always going to be questions. The devil's always going to try to bring something in that isn't supposed to be there. And it's the Word of God. That is our weapon against those such things. Common examples. When you're asked to do a job, right, that you don't want to do. You're at work and the guy says do this or that. Now, you know, he knows and you know that's something you just really hate doing. Perhaps your supervisor at work, you know, he gives you a task. You just hate doing that task. And immediately negative thoughts come into mind. Things that you would really like to tell that supervisor. They come into your head. Those are temptations. Those are things that James says they overtake us and cause us to sin. And they have to be stopped. But how do you stop that? How do you stop that negative thinking? That wicked thinking? The answer is the Word of God. Takes captive all the enemies. Takes captive all the influence. You make those thoughts captive before they captivate you. You put them in prison over here in this cell away from you where you don't have to deal with it anymore before they put you in prison. We think of the words of the Apostle Paul. What would he do? Do all things without grumbling or complaining, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Take that into thought. I don't really like what he's telling me to do, but I'm going to do it without complaining and without grumbling. There you go. So problem solved. You think of Isaiah chapter 50. Turn it with me to Isaiah chapter 50 and let's read verse 5. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 5. I think this is a really good example. We're going to go to Isaiah 50 and verse 5. And get my Isaiah 50. All right, so let's read Isaiah 50 and verse 5 together. Let's read verse 4 and 5. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak the word in season to him who is weary, awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. And you think about that. Verse 5. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. And so here's an individual that if we continue to read on, we realize who this is. This is someone who has their ear open to hear and learned. Somebody that isn't rebellious. And he says, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard, and I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. That was Jesus. We think he was able to control himself under tremendous pressure, more than I think any of us in this room will ever experience. And yet he was able to take all that into captivity and control it without being rebellious. And so we think about that. How powerful is the Word of God in our lives to take captivity captive? The devil wants nothing more than to control us, to control our thoughts, to make us slaves, to imprison us. But the Lord God, He's given us weapons, weapons that He used, weapons that are powerful to take all those thoughts captive, to captivate the devil, to put him into prison instead of you, his influence, and it's called the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Do all things without grumbling and complaining. So powerful, and yet so simple. And in Isaiah 50, the Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, and I did not turn away. Listening to God rather than man. Such amazing power. Such amazing. Being tempted by the opposite sex is a difficult thing too, especially in this world today. You know, we're easily tempted by impure thoughts, by things that are just prevalent all around us concerning the opposite sex. So we memorize the Bible. We take to heart, you know, things like Jesus, who in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, He talks about whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it away from you. It's more profitable to enter into the kingdom and rather than to, with one eye than to perish and your whole body be cast into hell. Just remember that. How important is it to control that eye? So you turn away, you have the power to do so. Job said he made a covenant with his eyes, right? That I should not look, why should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above? That inheritance. And so if man's able to control the same way God did, in those situations, then we know we have the power of God. What if you're prone to anger? Beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, James said. James chapter 1, 19 and 20. Pretty simple. How about the things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 and 45. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who do good for you. Bless those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Boy, people that persecute you. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you, he said. We need to be like our Father in heaven. We need to imitate God and Christ in our lives. He's the one that makes the sun to rise on the good, on the just and the unjust, the rain. And so we can do it. So I hope you're seeing a pattern in this, and the pattern is pretty simple, straightforward. It can be applied in every situation. The words of God is our weapons. We can take every thought into captivity. Everything in Christ means you use the power of the Word of God to remain in control of your thoughts to the extent that your thoughts can't control you. Taking every thought into captivity. And this isn't just about attitude. It's not at all, really. It's not about only the things of the lust of the world. It's doctrinal issues. Have you ever known someone who, you know, has a kind of a twisted view of doctrinal things? For example, I knew somebody that believed that somebody from Hades was troubling him. He was a member of the church. He seemed to be plagued by it. He believed in ghosts and spirits and seemed to, they were very real to him in his mind. So you go to the book of Luke chapter 16 and you realize that nobody can communicate from the grave to the living world. And you study that and you study that, and that person actually got the point. The Word of God became the power in his life to eliminate those kinds of false influences. It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Creation versus science. We already mentioned that several times. And you know, I hate that phrase, creation versus science. It should just be creation, science, because they're not opposed. Creation is science. And science is true science when it's based on facts. Observable, repeatable facts. Being tempted by alcohol. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. Whoever's led astray by it is a fool. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Not that difficult. Remember Noah. What happened to Noah when he became drunk? It's so simple. Just let the Word of God be the power in your life. And so we think, you know, feeling like you're all alone, there's a problem some of us face, but we're not alone. Remember Elijah in 1 Kings 19. He thought he was all alone. He's the only prophet left. There's nobody but me. And then he's being attacked and they're trying to kill me. But God showed him he wasn't alone. In 1 Kings chapter 19, at verse 18, he was shown that he's not alone. In fact, God had reserved 7,000 others in Israel who had not bowed the knee to Baal. He wasn't alone. God had to show him that. And once he understood the truth, he went on to victory. So can we. You know, Jesus was the first one to say, I'll be back. We've all heard that kind of joking phrase, but Jesus is the first one that said that. I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am you may be also. Jesus is the one that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he meant that. We can all be transformed by the power of God, by the power of his word. So if you're here tonight and you feel like you're unable to respond to the gospel challenge for, or the gospel call of Jesus Christ, if the things of your mind are challenging the decision, then just believe God. Understand that Jesus is the one, the only one who can save your soul. There is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a God, there is a creator, there is a devil. And you were created wonderfully and fearfully made. And so remember those things. Think about what the Word of God has taught you over the years and trust the Word of God. If you feel like you just can't move your feet, you can. Remember that with man, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. It's that simple. Think about that David and Goliath. And that little ruddy boy David and that big giant Goliath. So if he could overcome, anybody can. Anybody at all. There's just no question. There's no power on earth like the power of God. You know, I'd like to just glance through a few things here with you in Hebrews chapter 11. Begins with, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The Hebrew writer writes, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith Enoch was taken so that he did not see death. Without faith it's impossible to believe or to see God. We must believe. Noah, by faith, divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear to prepare an ark. Abraham obeyed God when he was called out to a place that he would receive as an inheritance. By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a son, a child. These all died in faith, having not received the promises. Isn't that an amazing thing? Powerful faith. But when you think about faith, realize that it isn't an ambiguous, unexplainable thing. Faith is simple. If I believe the world, then I have faith. If I believe there is no God, I have faith. If I believe that science is right and the Bible's all wrong, I have faith. So we all have faith. The difference is that there are things of faith from God that can save our souls, and the world can't. Well, I thank you for your time. If you have any need this night to obey the gospel or repent of sin, whatever the need might be, I ask you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.